I'm a Windows guy who's changed to Macintosh, yeah. Everything about it was just so much simpler than what I was used to, having used Windows for so long. I deal with Windows all day, and when I'm tired of fighting with that, I come home to a Macintosh that works. Mac OS X gets out of your way, whereas Windows wants to constantly be in your face all the time. In a year yet, I haven't found anything that I can do with a PC that I cannot do with my Macintosh.
Hello! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Join me today, he's broadcasting live from McDonald's parking lot in Kenmore, Canada. True story. So his internet could quit at any moment. Buster Heine is here.
Hey, hold on while I go get some fries.
Do you want fries with that? I think I just heard that in the background. Also with us, he learned yesterday, it's not easy cinching up your britches and hitting that high-pitched hello the listeners demand and deserve. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Epon. Hello, Buster.
Yours was so bassy. It was like Barry White hello.
Did he try to redo it?
Oh, he tried funny. To do it. He tried That's to go awesome. For it. Yeah. It was kind of half-hearted, though. He didn't fully commit to it. That's the key. You gotta pinch your legs together, and you really got to go for it, Leander.
Yeah. You got to get that castrato kind of tone, right?
That's exactly right. That's the secret sauce. But I got to say, I thought the show was wildly entertaining. It was an absolute train wreck. But it was great. I loved hearing you two just do the show together.
Really? Was it that bad? I saw a bunch of people on Twitter talking about it.
Yeah. It was. You got high praise, and, you know, a few people were saying that they missed me. But
some of them were saying it was they would enjoy it because it was a train wreck.
Yeah. I think sometimes that's the best type of show. You know? It's like it's like when you're watching a YouTube video of a guy on a skateboard and he's going down like a rail right. on the stairs. And you're like, you're kind of nervous because you know at any moment he's going to fall and hit his nards right on the rail, but you're captivated by it. That was kind of exactly what the show was like. But you guys did great. And I just appreciate that you guys recorded the show because...
Oh, yeah. Well, we're pros. We cranked
you guys,
it out.
I know. You guys just did it. I didn't even have to ask you, so that was fantastic. And I have to admit, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I only listened to the first part and the last part. So
yeah, you and everyone else.
Did you guys have multiple starts, or did you just start the show once?
No, we did it twice, because we started, and then we realized we messed it up, and then we started again.
Okay, well, that's why I left it in, because I didn't realize that. So I got some comments on Twitter saying that why were there two starts? And I was like, oh, I didn't know there were two starts. I heard the first start and I just presumed that you had started the show and it was going to continue.
No.
So hopefully you didn't drop any F-bombs because I must have missed those as well.
I don't think so.
I only caught one at the very beginning.
Well, I didn't
beginning.
Hear about it, so.
Yeah, okay. So here's what we're going to do this week. I'm going to give you guys a quick family update because I know some of you are probably just curious what's going on with me. And I missed the show last week, and the show was late. We technically didn't miss it because Leander and Lewis did record it. I just released it late. So technically, we never missed the show. It's just a little bit late, you know, so I feel good about that. And then also, we're going to talk about all this news that just came out right before we started talking or right before we started recording. That is the news, of course, about Apple sending out the invites to their iPhone press event. We'll tell you what we expect. We got some very hot leaks right before we started recording. We got some screenshots of the actual iPhone XS, I think is what it's going to be called, the new Apple Watch 4. This is going to get some folks in trouble. And Leander and I have been trying to figure out how these pictures got leaked because I think the story in and of itself is interesting, and people are definitely going to be fired over this. Tim Cook, he's polishing his retractable car antenna that he's going to extract to use to whip some tushies over this mistake, because this is a huge... If what I think happened actually happened, this is a massive mistake by somebody at Apple, and I'd be shocked if they weren't fired over this. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about all of our hardware expectations, and there's a lot to talk about. And then we're going to wrap up with a conversation about my new 2018 MacBook Pro. Many of you know that I kind of went back and forth over which model I was going to buy. Many of you have been asking me which model I chose. I totally mixed it up, and I got one heck of a machine. It just got in yesterday. I just unboxed it. And I wanted to just talk about my experience with it, my first impressions of the new MacBook Pro, having, well, I'm currently using my 2013 MacBook Pro, so I'm going to be switching from an older machine to this new machine, and there's a lot of differences. Holy moly. So we'll wrap up with a short discussion on that. Let's hear. Before we dive into all the fun, let me give a quick thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting this episode. When it comes to email marketing, there's so much more that goes into creating smart and effective campaigns than what meets the eye. That's why Campaign Monitor created an easy-to-use email marketing platform complete with simple drag-and-drop email editor and award-winning 24/7 customer service. Campaign Monitor gives you everything you need to run beautifully designed professional email marketing campaigns to grow your business with their gallery of beautiful professionally designed email templates, all of which look amazing on every device. You're bound to find something that will make your brand go, that's the pop noise. And since Campaign Monitor uses detailed lists and smart segments, your messages instantly drive more engagement. It's no wonder that it's used by over 250,000 businesses worldwide, and it's the highest rated in customer satisfaction among major email marketing software vendors. To start building smart and beautiful email newsletters today, try Campaign Monitor for free at campaignmonitor.com. That is campaignmonitor.com. Oh my goodness, heck of a week last week. Emotionally draining, physically draining for me. For those that don't know, I had a daughter on August 17th, a brand new, shiny new daughter with 512 gigabytes of RAM. And everything was going great. We brought her home. She was healthy. And then on Wednesday, we noticed, oh man, she's pretty warm. But we've had a lot of hot weather here, and it's been really smoky in Seattle. So we thought maybe she was just warm because it's been hot, it's been smoky outside, you know. And then by Thursday, we knew something was wrong. She was groaning in pain, and her fever had shot way up. And that's when we realized we need to take her to the hospital ASAP. And if you don't have children, you may not be aware of this. Little babies have virtually no immune system. They're still developing it, and I think it takes them about 30 days to really have an immune system that can fight things off. And so we thought maybe she was just getting sick. Well, we took her to the hospital, and the doctors were doing tests on her. We were in the ER all day. They had no idea what was wrong with her. She had a really high fever. Her heart rate was really fast. She was clearly in pain. I mean, it was just a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Finally, after doing like every test in the world, they came to the conclusion that they thought that she had viral meningitis, which is not as dangerous as it may sound. There's bacterial meningitis, which is very dangerous. It can actually kill your child. Viral is still dangerous, but most kids don't suffer any long-term damage from it, and it's not as likely to kill you, but still, you have to remain in the hospital. So thank God, with the help of the doctors at our hospital here in Seattle, she came through it, and it was just a trying time. And of course, going through that, I decided pretty quickly, okay, we're not going to be able to do a cult cast this week. Certainly, I'm not going to be involved in one, as I was trying to support my daughter and my family as best as I could. But
how long were you in hospital for with your daughter?
3 days. Three days.
Scary stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's, it turns you inside out with fear, doesn't it? It's awful.
Yeah. Fear, anxiety, uncertainty. And I mean, at a certain point, I was trying to keep my cool, but the doctors were so puzzled. They had no idea what was going on with her that even I started to start freaking out in a way, because here we are at one of the best children's hospitals in the United States, and they don't even know what's going on. And well, meanwhile, your kid is groaning in pain.
How did they figure it out in the end then?
They did a spinal tap. And yeah. Well, when your kid comes in sick, especially if it's under a month old, they do every test. They do everything that they can because they don't know what's going on. And unlike a grown person, they can't say, ouch, my tummy is hurting. You know, it's like they just cry and they scream. And so they have to just do test after test after test to figure out what exactly the issue could be. And so it turns out that was most likely the problem. And I say most likely because they still don't even know for sure. Mm-hmm, they just think that was it. But I mean, Leander's got 14 kids. He knows what it's like to tend to a sick child. It's just your worst nightmare.
Yeah. I've had loads of scares like that. But the worst is like, you know, remember during the SARS crisis and mm-hmm. bird flu and stuff like that. Like every time the kids fell sick, I was convinced that they had SARS. And this is like, you know, so I was staying up, holding their little hands and mopping their sweaty brows and terrified, like absolutely terrified.
That's the part that you never think about when you decide to have kids is what happens if they get sick? Because if you get sick, you can handle it. You deal with it. But when your kids get sick, oh, it's just the most heart-wrenching, intense experience I think that anyone can go through. And it's so cliche to say, you probably can't understand unless you've had a kid. But once you've had one, you realize just how painful it is to watch your kids suffer and go through anything like that. Anyway, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent me notes on Twitter and stuff. And people were sending me their thoughts, their well wishes and their prayers. And I really appreciate all that. And they really did help. You know, I was just sitting there. We were in the emergency room for like 11 hours. And I kept getting pinged on Twitter with people saying nice things. And it did make me feel better. And so thank you for that, because when you're going through something that's that painful.
There's a lot of comments on your Twitter stream. That was very nice. So, yeah, I think we should thank people for doing that. That was very kind.
Absolutely. And it just really made me feel part of a community, because when we do this podcast, it's just us broadcasting out to people. And sometimes you don't get a lot of reciprocity. And it was one of those situations where people started commenting back and talking back to us, which doesn't happen very much. And I thought, wow, we really do have a community of people here. That's kind of cool that we interact with.
We should do something to get back to that, shouldn't we? We should do more.
Yeah, maybe not along the lines of people being in the hospital or sick kids or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go inject the kids.
I'm going to go to Leander's house and hit him over the head with a ballot. And then I'll be at the hospital with him, you know, just accepting messages on his behalf. And yeah, it's a great way to build community, Leander. We should consider hitting you over the head.
Whose turn is it next week?
Anyway, not to go on too long about that, but thank you for all of your kind words. I did want to mention one quick thing, too. I'm going to be at PAX West this weekend. If you're going to be in Seattle for that, hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to meet you. PAX, for those that aren't familiar, is one of the biggest gaming conventions in the world. It's the capstone of my summer. It's just a huge video game convention.
Is that weirdo
going
to be there?
What's that?
That weirdo that you want to love?
Oh, dude, I hope so. I'm not sure.
Really? A lot of rubbish.
I'm actually not sure if he's going to be there. He was there last year, and I got to talk with him, which was great. But I was just thinking, if he's here this year, I'm going to ask him if I can touch his mustache. I'm going to get a video of that.
It's just going to go down real well, yeah.
I bet you he'll let me, too. So I'm not sure if he's going to be there, but there's going to be a massive Fortnite tournaments happening at PAX this year, which I'm looking forward to. They have a $1.5 million pot for Fortnite, an esports pot. Can you believe that? The winner of the Fortnite tourney takes home, I think, $250,000, maybe $300,000 for playing a video game. Can you freaking believe that? Unbelievable. Fortnite is just an anomaly. So if you're going to be at PAX, hit me up on Twitter, and I would love to meet you in person. Okay, so let's talk about these refreshed iPhones coming up. Apple has announced their iPhone event. It is going to be called the Gather Round Event. So cheeky. It's going to take place at the Steve Jobs Theater at Apple Park on September 12th. The keynote is going to be at 10 a.m. as per usual. And we're expecting them to announce new iPhones, a new Apple Watch, and possibly new iPads, possibly new Macs. Leander, did you get an invite to this event? Are you going to be there?
I think I got lost in the mail.
What the heck?
I'm expecting to
show
up.
Sometimes they invite
minute.
You, sometimes they don't. What's going on with that? It's so weird.
Well, I got to hit up my my buddy in the PR department.
Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to. Even if you have to, like, sneak in, dress up as one of the backstage hands, and just
to be honest, I was sort of like a little bit relieved, because it usually is like a horrible hairy nightmare. Like last time, there was no Wi-Fi connectivity, and I sat there, at the last event trying to type, and I couldn't get a connection. So it was like, and there was no hands-on afterwards. So at the end of it, I didn't manage to get a connection during the entire time.
So the whole opportunity was just completely wasted.
I just felt really, like an idiot.
Well, you're kind of like a one-man band when you go there, too. You have, like, your camera, your laptop. You're trying to do everything yourself.
Well, right. And I was, that's true. Well, I was just hoping to type, really, I mean, that would have been enough of a contribution. Get a bit of color, from the event. And I was trying to tether from my iPhone, but of course everyone else is trying to do that too, so that didn't work.
You would think they would have that worked out, because yeah, they know it's a worldwide event with people coming from all over and everyone needs Wi-Fi. You would think they would have the best Wi-Fi on earth in that building.
Yeah.
They were using the Wi-Fi at McDonald's next door.
That's what you should have done. That's a good plan. Next time you go, try to tether to the Starbucks, the on-site Starbucks Wi-Fi, and see if you can get that working. Okay, so let's talk about new phones first. We've talked about this a ton. Many of you probably know what to expect, but we got some leaks today. Here's what we're expecting: a refreshed iPhone 10 and a larger iPhone 10 Plus and a more affordable 6.1-inch iPhone with an LCD display. Those are going to be the stars of the show. Many believe that the 5.8 and the 6.5-inch iPhones will be called the iPhone XS. I actually love that name. It reminds me of NXS.
Yeah.
It's an autoerotic asphyxiation.
Well, that's not what came to my mind, but I'm not surprised it came to yours. The name reminded Leander of some of his favorite YouTube channels, the unlisted ones.
They were a great band, though.
Oh, they were great.
I never liked them at the time, but I liked them a lot afterwards.
Oh, of course you didn't like them at the time. They were one of the best bands of, the 80s, I guess, right?
Yeah, early 90s, 80s, I guess,
80s, too. Late 80s, early 90s. They may not call the 6.5-inch iPhone XS the XS Plus. They might just call it the XS. Why does Apple have such terrible problems with naming products?
This is a weird thing about this leak today. They're claiming that both of the phones have been called the XS.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, but what?
Right.
How do you know which one you want then?
Exactly. This is why I hate it when they do this. I like specific naming conventions. I like the iPad, 5, the iPad Mini 4. I like things that allow you to know exactly what product you're talking about. So I hope they don't do this.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, as long as they both have the exact same internals. They both have dual cameras.
Yeah, but one will have a bigger screen. How do you...
Yeah, but I got the big one.
How do you tell people...
You want the bigger one or the smaller one?
Well, why don't they call it the big one then? Why don't they call it the 5XS, quote, the big one?
They need to put it in quotes, though. That's what really makes the naming convention work. The big one.
And then when it's about this iPhone, it'll be Leander's big one.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Is that a big one? You know it, girl. I always go with the big one. Yeah, I like to know what phone I'm getting my hands on.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would they call them both the same XS? Well,
it's like MacBook Pro.
Maybe it's a big S and a little S.
But you got that could be smart. But you got the MacBook Pro. You have a MacBook Pro or you have a MacBook Pro, and they're different sizes, 15 or 17 or 13.
That's a good point.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So that will, in all likelihood, be the name. All three phones are expected to be upgraded with A12 processors. They will feature edge-to-edge displays. Face ID integration on all of them. Apple is most likely doing away, almost certainly doing away with the home button for the entire 2018 iPhone lineup, which I'm happy about. I love the Touch ID, but after using Face ID now for almost a year, can you believe we've had our iPhone X for, I guess 10 months now? It's hard to believe it's been that long. And 3D touch. I'm still seeing rumors that we're not going to have 3D touch on any of these phones, which I find hard to believe. Leander, your thoughts?
I'm skeptical of that. I don't think they're going to do away with it.
I think they'll possibly do away with it next year, but I don't know why they would do away with it this year when the iPhone X already supports 3D touch. It would still be the same screen module unless they wanted to take it out to make it cheaper or something.
I seem to recall us having talked about this in a previous show where there was something about the screen technology they were going to be using that was going to prohibit the use of 3D touch. I'm not sure if that's it or what's going on, but we'll soon know. And then, of course, a rose gold version in the X model of the phone, which is going to be a new color for them. And so we got some pictures leaked today. Leander, what was the story that you heard on how these pictures got leaked?
Well, one of our competitor sites, who we won't mention, but everyone knows, is actually really kind of widely hated, but we won't get into that.
No one actually likes their site, yeah. everyone always says how much better your site is.
Right. Oh, yeah, all the time. They know it's true. I don't know, it wasn't clear. They've got some they had these marketing pictures, these product marketing photos. They're official Apple photos. It's not some shaky, out of focus, you know, sketchy looking picture from the supply chain. These are actual Apple's marketing pictures. And this never happens. I mean, when has this ever happened? When has Apple's marketing pictures ever leaked before? I don't think ever.
Well, here's what I heard happened. There is a developer
I thought you were asking me.
Oh, did you? But you
I
said
was
you didn't
get to it.
But you said you didn't know.
Well, no, I was going to get to it.
Oh, well then please continue by all means.
Hey, no, go ahead. Go on. You've taken the wind out of my sails. Go ahead. Go on.
No. You were doing a build up. I like what you were doing there. I didn't. You did it so well.
The foundations. Yeah.
You did it so well that I thought you actually didn't know. So I was trying to save you.
It
you,
looks like.
Go ahead. Continue.
It came from Guerreiro Rambo. Who is I think he's in Brazil, isn't he? He's a developer in Brazil.
So. Mm-hmm.
And he's been contributing to 9to5 for like about a year, maybe a bit longer. Mm-hmm. He, you know, very clever guy, knows how to dig into stuff, usually sort of digs around the betas, right, and finds icons or references to, you know, to upcoming products. But it looks like he got hold of a test stream for the keynote, which is crazy, a test video stream. And he was digging into that, and he found, he took the pictures from that. Which is mad. And I'll bet he's got loads more up his sleeve. I'll bet there'll be a couple more tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if that test stream is public or if he somehow figured out what the test stream was.
Yeah, no, I bet it isn't public. There is a public URL. Well, there's a URL that you can access, obviously, publicly, if you know the URL.
But it's like an internal URL that they don't publicize, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah. And this is how they leaked the beta last year, right?
Oh, is that what happened?
One of the
recall.
iOS betas, yeah, that Mac Rumors got hold of, because
there
was, you know,
GM
someone figured
one.
Out the URL for this, you know, for a beta.
Oh, for the beta software. I see. Okay.
I think actually no, it wasn't. It was a Gold Master or something like that, wasn't it? Which and
right.
It had a whole bunch of stuff that had been kept out, so they managed to get hold of a bunch of icons and product names out of that. In fact, wasn't that how they got hold of the iPhone X name? Right.
Right.
I don't
year.
Recall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so the interesting part was. I was reading about this and apparently they were only broadcasting an image of an Air Power Mat, and then that stopped and they started showing actual market images of the products that they're going to release. So I don't know if they thought that no one was watching or they thought it wasn't possible that anyone could be watching, but he was watching. So they're sitting there watching an Air Power Mat, and then all of a sudden actual product images start being shown on the screen.
Ouch.
And they started taking screenshots of it. Can you freaking imagine?
Crikey.
Can you imagine the intensity at which Tim Cook's
car
antenna whip will be coming down on the hide?
Oh,
the
yeah. There was rumors that they were pissed already, you know, in the executive suite about all the rumors already. Because, you know, quite a lot had already leaked out anyway. And then now this is just the icing on the the cherry on the cake. Oh my god! Yeah, someone's really gonna get.
They're not gonna be able to sit down. Yeah, they're not gonna be able to sit for a while. Well, tell us about the Apple Watch 4, because we also got an image of the Apple Watch 4, which we need
right.
to talk about.
And that was actually the more interesting one, wasn't it?
Because, I think
I mean,
so.
You know,
yeah.
The image of the Apple Watch 4 shows a gold Apple Watch 4, and as predicted, it has a much larger face, and the face, the screen rather, you know, stretches to the edges now. And so this thing shows a new Apple Watch face with none other than nine complications packed onto this thing. So in every corner they have, you know, some information about the weather, the temperature, the UV light, the time, the sunset, the sunrise. And then I noticed one, and then they have the rings in the middle, what's playing on iTunes. And one I noticed around the clock face, there's a calendar item which says lunch with Ken at 13. At 12.
Mm-hmm.
So nine complications, which is crazy. I don't think, you know, there's not, what's the current max? One, two, three, four,
maybe?
Five or six at the moment.
Oh, I guess if you count the corners, yeah?
Yeah, on the current watch face. But it looks really gorgeous. And I like the watch face, you know, like people say, you said it looked like a unicorn puked on it.
I did say that. You know, I still want one, but
yeah.
It looks very busy to me. And the thing I don't like about the complications is, Apple doesn't let you change the colors of them. So if you have a beautiful watch face that you have spent time curating the color for, and then you add this rainbow complication that throws the entire thing off, I wish they would allow you to change the colors of the complications. There's just way too much color happening on the screen
of this
image.
Well, you can with some. Do you want it monochrome, though? Is what you mean?
I would like to have an option to do monochrome, yeah. Or, you know, if you choose neon pink for your second hand color, I think that you should have the option of changing the complication colors to match. That would make much more sense to me. But it's hard to say without seeing it in action. I'm just looking at this watch face right here, and I'm looking at all the different colors and all the competing complications. It looks like a freaking mess. Look at that.
I like it. Okay, that's the whole point. It's like, you know, it's a little, you know, it's like a car dashboard. You know, it's got all of the information all in one glance.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I'm not saying I
don't like it because it's not practical. It's very practical. I just, aesthetically speaking, I just think it looks too busy.
No, I like it.
What were you saying, Buster? Oh, he's at the drive-thru. He's getting...
what's he want? A double cheeseburger?
He's getting another cheeseburger. Actually, the drive-thru. My bad, sorry.
He's going for the dollar menu, right? The value.
Yeah, do they have those in Canada? They have the Crown Royale, right? They don't call it the Big Mac. I learned that from Pulp Fiction. The Royale with cheese.
That's in France, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that is in France. But, you know, France,
they speak
Canada.
French in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of parts of it. Buster, can you hear me? Okay, well, let's continue about this Apple Watch face. What other aspects of it are interesting to you, Leander?
Apparently, it's got new and faster internals, which is good. That'll be cool. Buckets of new bands.
Oh yeah,
and a rose. And the digital crown now. Instead of having a big red dot on it that makes it look like it's got some kind of tropical disease, it's much subtler now. So it's like a ring of red around it. So it doesn't,
I think it looks so much nicer
like a big
than that
acne pimple, big angry pimple.
That angry pimple. That's the perfect way to describe it. It's so ugly and gross. That dot they have on the LTE models, I think, was a terrible idea. Again, the color of it doesn't necessarily match the watch body in some instances. And then you have specific colors that you choose for the watch face. And those colors may not match the dot on your crown. So it was strange to me that they chose such a bold color for the crown designation on the LTE models. I think this circle is much more refined and easier on the eyes.
Yeah,
although I did hear a rumor that one of the reasons that they did this is because there's not going to be a Wi-Fi model on this new watch. It's just going to be LTE Wi-Fi only.
Huh.
Yeah, which I'm not happy about because that means it's going to be more expensive. And quite honestly, I don't want
to pay $10 a month too to get the
Well,
connection.
You don't have to activate it if you don't want to, and
that's
I probably
true.
Wouldn't.
Yeah, true,
so
true,
I'm
going
to be paying for technology that I'm not going to use. I prefer a Wi-Fi model, but we'll see what they end up doing. I hope that they don't just do an LTE model only. You know, the other thing I noticed about this, Leander, is it's not just the screen that feels rounder. It seems like the entire watch body is rounder. Did you notice that?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, the screen looks a little more bulbous.
You think it looks bulbous?
I think it looks flatter.
I think it looks flatter.
Flatter?
Yeah.
I think it's rounder.
Well, it does. It looks flatter and it looks rounder to me. It seems like they softened off the corners. It doesn't look as rectangular as it used to.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Lord help me. This is going to be such an expensive month. Oh my gosh. I bought this MacBook Pro, which was insanely expensive. We'll talk about that here shortly. And I told myself, I don't need an iPad. My current iPad works great. I definitely don't need an Apple Watch. I don't even wear my Apple Watch now. But as soon as I saw this image, I immediately started thinking, oh, well, actually, maybe I do need an Apple Watch. Maybe I do need the new Apple Watch. That thing looks pretty good. I have the version 0, and I'm sure there's going to be features in this that we haven't heard about yet that are going to be very titillating. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to resist. And they're going to have the iPads with Face ID. I just don't know. I just don't know if I can resist. And then perhaps we're also going to have a... Well, almost certainly, because the image shows it, we're going to have a rose gold version of the Apple Watch as well, which not necessarily my style, but, you know, some people out there like that rose gold option, so that will be available for you. Leander, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, onwards from Apple Watch, unless you had something else that you wanted to say about that, Leander?
No. It is going to be an expensive month, isn't it? My goodness. It looks like they're refreshing a lot, so...
Exactly. Well, as long as we're talking about Apple Watches, good timing to talk about the Cultamac watch store?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So this weekend, we have the biggest sale of the year coming up on the Cultamac Apple Watch store. Whew. It's going to be a big one. Labor Day sale, up to 40% off, which is crazy, on some select vendors, and sort of 20 and 25% off a bunch of others, too. So yeah, it's a big sale. It's the biggest sale we do of the year, except for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time. You know, the bands are going to be compatible with the new watches, and we, I think, have, you know, it's the best one stop shop for all your Apple Watch needs on the web. Everything has been sort of tested and reviewed by us, so we can, you know, attest to its quality. And it's going to be bands and chargers and batteries and stands. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff on sale. Definitely check it out. Runs from Friday through to midnight on Monday.
What are the dates on that? Do you know?
Of the weekend?
Yeah, what is that? Okay, so it's Friday the 31st until September. Monday, so August 31st until Monday the 3rd, September 3rd.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And do they need any codes or anything, or is it just store.cultamac.com?
Yeah, no, we're gonna put in the stuff on sale. No codes necessary.
Okay, fantastic. I think you're right too. I think the store, the Cultamac watch store, I don't think there's anything else like it, quite honestly.
No, I don't know if anything either. We've been adding vendors all year. We've got a whole bunch of vendors now. It's stuff that's not so easy to find. It's all really, really good quality stuff. It's not, you know, there's no sort of cheap junk from anyone. You know, you can buy bands for like, I don't know, $6-7 on the net in places, but you know that they're really not good quality. All the stuff is really, really good quality.
I did buy a, what is the name of that band? I'm totally spacing out on the name, with a Milanese loop. I bought one of those on Amazon for $7. I gotta say, one of the best purchases I've made on Amazon. That thing is, it looks identical to Apple's Milanese loop. And it's stainless steel. It's scratched. It probably scratches much easier than the original version. But the magnet in it works great. It's comfortable. It doesn't pull out any of my arm hairs. $7.
Great. Thanks for completely undermining our little plug for the store there. Good job, Irfan. Yeah, don't bother to go to store.cultamac.com. Just head over to Amazon and get yourself a $7 one.
No, I got
one of those. It gave me a nasty rash.
Well, I also bought a silicone one on Amazon, and it was a total piece of garbage. So my point is you never know what you're going to get on
Amazon. It's a crapshoot.
It's hit or miss. Yeah, exactly. Plus the stuff that you guys have on the Cultamac watch store, I think, is a much higher caliber than the stuff that's offered on Amazon. Which comes out of the back alleyways of Shanghai. You know, it's just like the cheapest Chinese-produced watch bands that people can get their hands on. They're just trying to profiteer. Everyone's trying to profiteer on Amazon, trying to sell accessories for, you know, Apple devices.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, this thing's a big hit, and it's taken off, you know, like crazy. But the stuff on the stores, I think, you know, there's some really, really great stuff, like Duke out of Hong Kong. The guy, Eugene Ho, he's been making... high-end watch accessories, you know, for a long time, luxury watch stuff. So he really knows what he's doing. And his bands, you know, are really beautiful. They're really, really well made. And they cost like half of what the equivalent stuff from Apple, you know, so they have like a stainless steel loop band. And mm-hmm. it's half the price of the one that Apple, the money that Apple charges for theirs. And it's just as good as a quality, you know, it's like top-notch quality. And he's a fanatic. I mean, he's completely fanatic about the detail. He's Apple-esque in his fanaticism, you know, and making sure the stuff's perfect.
You guys have some exotic stuff on there too. I mean, don't you have one? I think I saw one made from alligator foreskins.
No, there was some ostrich. We had some ostrich skins.
Oh, was it ostrich?
Most of us still carrying them, but there was and there were some funky looking bands that looked like sort of tiger skin or zebra skin. They're actually made out of.
Those weren't real, were they?
No, they're made to calf skin. So they're nice and soft, and they're made to look like they're exotic animals.
I see.
But they're not. No endangered animals were endangered for...
Foreskins were endangered for the making of these ostriches.
Right. Yeah. But they're kind of funky looking. I mean, not to my taste, but, you know, some people might like them.
Yeah, some people like that wild and crazy stuff. So, store.cultamac.com.
Well, the URL is store.cultamac.com. Store. store.cultamac.com.
Okay, great. Let's talk about some Macs and some iPads. So here's the thing. We don't know if we're going to get new Macs and iPads at this event. It's possible that we may. We'll have to wait and see how much they're able to pack into this one event, but it's a lot of stuff. I mean, new iPhones, three new models, new Apple Watch. They're going to talk about iOS 12, of course. And so there may be another event in October where we get new Macs, new iPads, because there's going to be a lot of new iPads and new Macs to talk about, I think. So
don't we say that every year and it never happens?
What, we say they're going to announce new Macs?
There's always going to be two events, and that never is. There's only one.
I hope it's just one. I would prefer one, just one mega event. Let's just get it all out there so that way I can figure out what I'm going to buy. And an October event seems strange to me because it's so close to September, but now that they have their own, you know, headquarters to do these events on campus, it seems much more likely to me that they may be doing more events, more smaller events, because they can just do them whenever they want. So we are expecting a update to the 12-inch MacBook. We're expecting an iMac update, of course, which is when they'll probably update to the Coffee Lake chips. And those machines, I think, might be beastly when they actually release those. And the ProFocus Mac Mini is also going to be coming out sometime soon. I'm really looking forward to see what Apple does with that. It could be a massive change for the Mac Mini. And I know people who are fans of having a headless horseman, so to speak, are looking forward to a less expensive Mac without a screen. And from the rumors that we've read about how the Mac Mini is going to be focused towards pros, focused towards developers, focused towards people who run like a movie server on their own network, it seems like it could be potentially a very cool machine. So hopefully we'll see some news about that very soon. Also, new iPads. The iPad family is due for a refresh. I don't know if I can resist. We're expecting Super Retina HD displays, Face ID, so long home button, and of course, feature improvements. I doubt we'll see anything beyond that. That will probably be the extent of it, but I would be happy with just a Face ID, just with Face ID added to it. I want
to see 3D Touch coming to the iPad. I mean, talking about that, I think that would be useful on the iPad.
I wonder if they got that to work. I remember us talking about this in a past show, and there seemed to be a technical limitation to making 3D Touch work on such a large screen, which was why Apple hadn't brought it to the iPad previously and was only able to get it to work on the iPhone. And of course, if they get rid of 3D Touch entirely, then they're not going to bring it to the iPad at all, right?
Bad,
So I would actually be quite surprised if I saw 3D Touch hit the iPad, but we don't know what they're going to do with that yet. So we just don't know which way 3D Touch is going at this point. But yeah, $1,000 maybe for a new iPad. How much is the LTE Apple Watch? Is it like $500, $550 for the LTE version?
I'm not sure. I'm going to say $499.
$499 sounds about right. So you're looking at another $1,500 if you want to get these two gadgets, plus the iPhone XS Big plus One Edition.
The rumor there, how much was that? That was I saw some guesses that it was going to be $1,050.
I would be surprised if it were that cheap for the big one edition.
I imagine that's a starting price, you know, for the 16 gigabyte model or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like $1,300.
Yeah,
for the big one, because they have to have the price be higher than the normal version. I think the normal version might be $1,000. And so it's just going to be so expensive. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's not saving now.
I know. I was thinking about how I can make some extra money, and I was like, you know, I could just go into downtown Seattle and just do street dancing and put out like a guitar case and have people give me donations for my excellent street dancing skills.
Go away.
I was thinking about or that. I was also thinking I could go, you know, show a little leg on the corner. I've got a few ideas that I'm bouncing around, but yeah, we're talking about thousands of dollars worth of Apple hardware that I'm actually thinking about investing in.
Yeah. Don't bother to think of the new children, the growing family.
Yeah, well, they don't want Apple Watches, Leander. What's a newborn baby going to do with an Apple Watch? That doesn't even make any sense.
Good point. Yeah, I'm sure your wife will be swayed by that.
So, with all of that out there, I think that covers all the hardware. Let's talk about my new MacBook Pro. We can kind of wrap up with a quick conversation about this. I unboxed it, Leander. She's a real beauty. I decided to go with the 2.6 gigahertz model with 32 jibs, 32 big old jiblies of RAM, and I went with a 1 terabyte SSD. This is the most expensive computer I have ever purchased in my entire life. The total price tag before some of the discounts I was able to work, $3,350 for
Crikey.
A Mac.
That's a lot of money for a machine. Yeah, I don't think I've ever spent that much money on a Mac.
Well, I was going to say, you have an expensive iMac, but that probably only costs, what, $2,200,
$2,300? I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's so much money, and quite honestly, I think it's a little overpriced for what you're getting. I really do. I think it's kind of insane that Apple charges. Well, the Apple laptops are as expensive as they are. But you do get cutting-edge technology in the machine, so I understand why they charge that high of a price, but it's still a lot to swallow. I mean, $3,300 for a laptop.
Did you sell your old one?
Not yet. I'm still using my old one.
Why? Because you can't better get some smutty fingerprints on
Well,
new
there's
one,
that, or? And plus, I'm still trying to get it set up. Getting a new Mac set up is like moving. It's the worst, especially now that I'm involved in a lot of production.
Can't you do target mode, you know, and then just copy everything over?
Well, you can do that if your Mac has the same I/O as your old Mac, but mine doesn't. So I'm not able to just plug it into my old machine and do that. Thankfully, I do have a AirPort Extreme router with, it's a time capsule. So I had a backup. I was able to slurp in all my data and do it that way, but it took forever. So I just got it. It worked. Yeah, it worked.
I've had a mixed, mixed luck with that. But I haven't used it for a long time, so.
Well, it doesn't work perfectly, so some of my applications aren't working still.
There you go.
You know, exactly, exactly. And there I was just go. Like, dude, I don't have time. I thought about just doing it fresh. That's normally what I do when I get a new computer. I just set it up fresh. But I was thinking about all the folders with all the content on my video and all my audio stuff and all these files that I'm constantly going and using in my podcasts and YouTube videos, and I have to make sure all that stuff gets moved over. And I was like, I have a brand new kid. This is a nightmare. I can't do this right now. I can't spend 3 or 4 hours setting this machine up, getting all my folders in Finder windows set up the way I like them. You know, it's just too much. So I just did a migration assistant, pulled everything over. It just finished this morning, actually. So I have to take a look
at
it.
How long did it take?
I don't even know. I don't even know. I just let it.
When did you start?
I started it last night before I went to bed.
Okay. So yeah. Overnight, that's not too bad.
Yeah. So it got done overnight and it seemed to work for the most part, but yeah, some of my apps aren't working. So I have to go figure out why those aren't working. You know, I think Apple it's hard not to pull out this machine and start criticizing it right from the get go. Cause it looks exactly like my current machine, right? Except there are some major differences. The glowing Apple logo is gone. I immediately miss it. The MagSafe is gone. Oh my gosh, what a huge omission that is. Using a USB-C cable to charge the new MacBook Pro is so much more clumsy and inelegant. And on my current MacBook Pro, I can see if it's charged or not with that little LED on top of the MagSafe. And with the new MacBook Pros, you have to open up the MacBook Pro and look.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not nearly as refined. And then pulling the USB-C cable out and pushing it in to charge it, it's not easy to do. There's
so
no,
you hate this thing already?
There's no SD card slot, Leander. There's no SD card slot, which is something I already miss immensely. I use it all the time.
Yeah, that
and
is
now
useful.
I need to carry an adapter with me to use an SD card slot. Not. I take that back. I can't even use my SD card slot card reader.
Because it's not USB-C.
It's not compatible because it's not USB-C. So all of a sudden, all of your USB dongles, your monitor, all of your accessories are immediately not useful on your new computer.
Well, think of all that lovely money you're going to have to spend buying a whole bunch of new stuff.
I know, right? And then there's that. So it's bittersweet. I'm happy to be moving to a machine that's faster. And I am very grateful to have a new machine, and I'm very fortunate to be able to buy a machine that is as nice as this machine is. But I'm looking at the sides and there's just two Thunderbolts / USB-Cs on both sides. And I was saying to myself, I swear the only reason we have two on each side is because Johnny Ive wanted these to be symmetrical. And the hell with practical I/O. He was like, they need to be symmetrical, so we're going to go this direction, and that's probably the only reason why we have them the way they are.
That's probably true. Probably very true.
Symmetry one over practicality. And I'm looking at the ports, and I'm thinking to myself, these aren't pro ports. These just aren't the ports that a professional needs on his machine. Professionals, they need... Well, I'm going to go into a rant. I'm going to avoid this here. Let me talk about some of the stuff.
How long did your old machine last? How many years did you have that?
I bought it in 2013. So it's over 5 years old now.
Yeah. So
it's never had a single problem either. So I do like the large trackpad on the new MacBook Pro. I like the haptic engine in the trackpad, how you're able to press anywhere on it and get that same clickiness. I do like that a lot. It's, of course, a beautiful machine. The keyboard is growing on me quickly. I like how shallow it is. I've always liked shallow keyboards, but I still kind of also like my current scissor mechanisms on the 2013 MacBook Pro. We'll see. That's something I think eventually you get used to and doesn't bother you at all. But
no touch bar?
I have the touch bar. And
I quite like that. That's actually growing on me.
Do you find that you actually use it?
Well, yes and no. Probably not as much as I could or should.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, my wife loves it. She likes the touch bar. She thought it was great.
I haven't really run into very many scenarios. Of course, I just got my machine set up, so I got a caveat with that. But I haven't run into very many scenarios where I thought the touch bar actually looked useful at this point. We'll see how I like it.
There's a bit of a learning curve. You know, like I was looking at the, you know, I was fiddling around in Word the other day, and there was a whole bunch of really useful stuff that came up in Word that I thought was kind of cool.
Okay.
Autocorrect is actually really kind of useful in that thing.
And I also think it's going to be really useful for Final Cut Pro and Logic once I get the machine set up. But yeah. Of course, I can't use it to record the Cultcast yet because my audio interface doesn't have a USB-C cable, so I can't plug it into my computer. So I'm looking at this thing, thinking to myself, there's literally nothing I can do with it at this point. It doesn't connect to my monitor. It doesn't connect to any of my hard drives. It doesn't connect to my audio interface. I can't actually use this for production because it doesn't have a professional set of I.O. Even though the I.O. is blazing fast, and I think once I do get everything switched over, I'll probably be very happy with it. It is nice to be able to plug your power into either side of your Mac. That's nice.
One thing to make you feel better about your $3,500 purchase.
Right, $3,500.
So what were the savings you got?
So this is worth mentioning. So I was trying to figure out the best way to do it, and I ended up buying it from Adorama. They had a sale, and they were offering an additional like $100 off if you had a specific discount code. They're having a ton of these sales now, so if you keep an eye out for them, we're featuring them on Cult of Mac all the time too. I just saw one today, actually, that looked like it was a great deal. And then what you want to do is you want to use a website that gives you cash back for shopping at specific vendors. And some of the more popular ones are Ebates.com and also TopCashback.com, which is the one that I ended up using. And Top Cashback was offering 2% back on the vendor that I used. So I ended up getting like $68 back on my purchase. And I've used them before and they're legit. They actually gave me cash back via PayPal after they make you wait a little while. You have to wait like 4 to 5 weeks so the vendor can verify your purchase.
4 to 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's a long time. But, you know, it's better than nothing. And I also decided to use my Costco Visa card this time around to make my purchase because they extend your original warranty from 1 year to 3 years. And so if anything goes wrong with your Mac, you'll have to fix it yourself, but you give them the invoice and they will reimburse you up to $10,000 for any repairs.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's a great deal.
And you're sure that's legit? They'll definitely do that without any headache?
Yeah, I've used credit card extended warranties on a ton of my devices in the past. I also use them for price protection. A lot of people don't realize that their credit cards have these benefits built in.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, most credit cards do. I used to use Discover Card because they give 5% cash back on Apple purchases, but then they recently stopped offering an extended warranty, and that extended warranty is really valuable. If you want
to
buy...
You don't need to get any AppleCare now, right?
Well, I probably won't, but AppleCare covers damage as well as defects in workmanship. And so this extended warranty only covers defects in workmanship. So if your trackpad stops working in year two, they'll replace it. But, and I've talked about this on the show before, at least for US listeners, you can get a personal article insurance policy on your technology, which is something that I do on almost all my technology. It's dirt cheap and it covers theft and it covers accidental damage. So you might spend like $4, $5 a month for like a brand new MacBook Pro. And then if anything happens to it, they either fix it or they replace it in full. One of the biggest companies that offers this kind of personal article protection policy right now is State Farm. And we have that policy in place for other gadgets. We've actually gotten things replaced before, so it's a good way to go. There might be some other insurance companies out there that do it as well, but I'm not familiar with all the details. So you'll want to investigate it for yourself. So anyway, I went through a little extra work, got 3% total cash back, 1% via the credit card, 2% via top cash back, and then the extended warranty to 3 years, you know, all just by shopping smartly. And
do you pay tax if it's from Adorama? Because aren't they in New York?
Not yet. Not yet. Eventually, we all will. Yeah, but Washington State hasn't implemented any new sales tax rules yet. So that's the other thing, too. The Supreme Court just ruled, well, that your state can force companies that don't operate in your state to collect sales tax on their behalf. And so eventually, if you live in a state that charges sales tax, all of your online shopping is going to charge you tax. There's not going to be any way to get around it. The heydays of tax-free shopping on the internet have come to a close. So at this point, you're just waiting for states to catch up and realize what the Supreme Court did and implement their own laws. It's going to be a huge nightmare when this actually starts happening. If you're a retailer, you have to figure out how to collect sales tax for 50 different states and all their municipalities and everything. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But so if you're going to be doing tax-free or if you want to do shopping tax-free, you got to do it probably in the next 6 months. You need to do it before January, I think, because your state might be thinking about implementing new laws to force retailers to charge tax for your online purchases.
I'm surprised. I didn't know you knew so much about this.
Well, I've been following it pretty closely because I both buy and sell online, and it's going to be a nightmare for people that sell stuff online. Like, for instance, if you sell something on eBay and you need to ship that to Wisconsin, can Wisconsin force you to collect sales tax for a specific city in their state? You know, I think they probably will be able to do that. And then how do you go about doing that? And then how do you pay that sales tax to Wisconsin once you've collected it? It's a nightmare. I've had to do it for Washington State, and you have to go through and like choose which cities you collected sales from and then go and pay that city like $5 and the other city like $6 and another city like $12. And can you imagine doing that for all 50 states? It's just going to be, I don't know how I'm going to do it. So that's why I've been following it closely. Anyway, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there because we're probably making people's eyes gloss over it with the conversation on sales tax.
Yes, mine were glossing over and we run an online store too.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting this episode. If you're ready to create beautiful, professionally designed email templates for your business, head on over to campaignmonitor.com. campaignmonitor.com. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon Lander, is at El Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you dudes next time.
Oh, cranky.
You all right? That sounded like a pretty good stretch.
Yeah. Stretch
it out. Get loose. Get limber. What's that line? How's that old adage go? From the lowliest peasant to the highest pharaoh. Everyone loves a good stretch.
I don't know.
I think it was on The Simpsons. 'Wife going, or is it just him?
Oh yeah, she's in the band too. She's the maiden. She's one of the main accordionists.
Oh, because he doesn't play accordion, right? He just plays bass.
Yeah, and he was telling me he actually literally fell asleep on stage one time playing bass. I was like, what? And he said, yeah, he nodded off.
Oh, you know? Well, it's an accordion show. Are you surprised?
Well, they play Led Zeppelin and AC/DC, and you know they kind of rock it out.
Oh man, that's so great.
They're actually really pretty good.
The accordion's a tough instrument. I used to play it.
Really?
Yeah, you did?
I'm not making fun of the accordion, yeah.
Why did you play the accordion?
Because my mom loved it.
That's weird.
She convinced me that I loved it too when I was 10 or 11. And I had this teacher. He was ancient. He was probably like 110 years old. And he never even knew my name. He always used to call me Efren. Did you practice your accordion, Efren? I did that for 6 months and I quit.
It's a good thing you chose a really cool instrument.
Yeah.
I mean, probably also played so saxophone or guitar or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was very popular in my junior high school. I know. I wanted to play sax. How did I continually get talked out of the most popular instruments? I wanted to play sax. I got talked into clarinet. And then I got talked into playing bassoon. Got talked into playing accordion. I played all the world's most nerdy instruments. And I never wanted to play any of them. So sad. I would have been the greatest saxophone player of all time. I would have definitely been one of the most sensual sax players of all time.
The what?
One sensual. Of the most sensual sax players
yeah,
of all time.
Yeah, you would
time.
Have been like, sensual. You know, young Kenny G. You got the hair, too. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
Just grow that out.
I would have grown my... Oh, yeah. I would have grown my hair out. People... I would have been the soundtrack of lovemaking everywhere. There's no doubt in my mind.
Right after the accordion show, Lewis and his wife would be putting it on. Well, they get down to their orgy.
I would have been like that sax player who's like playing the super high notes. And he's just pumping his groin, you know, when he hits those high notes.
Okay, great, thanks.
That's the visual you needed.